Thank you, team, for leading us in worship this morning. Have you ever been, some of you, this might be a funny question, I don't know, but have you ever been out hiking or walking or maybe you've been walking home from something and you took a wrong direction, you took a wrong path? A little bit of laughter suggests it's possibly so. You know, maybe one time you thought, hey, this might be a great shortcut. And it wasn't. I've done that. My wife's not in here right now, and so that's good, because she could tell you stories of the great shortcuts that I've suggested, whether hiking in a forest or driving a car or maybe going for a walk. Shortcuts, things I thought was a good path, and it really didn't work out well at all. And I don't need to suggest that we take shortcuts anymore, because, as I said in the past, that just doesn't go well. Sometimes we might say of a person in life, you know, that they took a wrong path in life. Maybe their life was one of getting in trouble with the law or making poor choices when it comes to friends and activities to be involved with, and they might even have made such wrong choices that it gets to the point where it brings shame to their family. It dishonors the way that they were brought up. And, you know, in a sense, life is really, it truly is a series of choices. It's a series of choices that we make. I joked with Pat this morning. I was over at Tim Hortons, and Pat was sitting there and, you know, with a group of people and talking, and she said something to the effect like, uh-oh, the pastor's here. Now I'm going to have to go to church. Pat is here in church this morning. I did go over to her, lean over, and say, it's good to see you, Pat, but I hope you didn't feel pressure. I encouraged her that she still had a choice. It was free will. And so we find that life is a series of choices. Anne Frank, who was a Holocaust victim and author of A Diary of a Young Girl, said, our lives are fashioned by our choices. Our lives are fashioned by our choices, period. First we make our choices, then our choices make us. We make our decisions, and if we make good decisions, we can be successful. If we continually make bad decisions, well, then we won't likely be successful. And every decision has a consequence. It has a result, an outcome for good or bad, and the potential for error, unfortunately, is great, because we're human, and that means we're imperfect. And some of you today may be struggling with some kind of difficult decision. Do I move? If so, where will I live? What job? We've heard that this morning. What job should I go for? Should I, and when should I get married? Some people wonder if they should stay in their marriage. And others wonder, where should we put our kids in school? All kinds of things. And the thing is, you know what? Indecision, in other words, that, I can't decide. I can't make up my mind. It's not always waving of the hands, but it's just like, I can't decide. I can't make up my mind. I don't know what to do. Indecision is one of the greatest sources of stress in our lives. Yet, God doesn't want you to be stressed out by your decisions. It's one of these things. I'm stressed out by my decisions, but I know that God doesn't want me to be stressed out by them. And the Bible tells us in the book of James, it says this. It says that a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. And Jesus likely had that in mind, had that kind of person in mind when he spoke of the one who tries to serve two masters. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, you know, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and you can't serve the world, or you can't serve God and you can't serve money. That kind of person is unstable, which comes from a Greek word meaning unsteady or wavering. A double-minded person is restless and confused in thoughts and actions and behavior, often in conflict with themselves. One part of the mind is sure of something, while the other part doubts or is uncertain. I'm just undecided. Actually, that word unstable in the Greek language of the New Testament actually means staggering like a drunk. It means that when you're pulled in different directions by a decision because you just can't figure out which way to go, what to do, it often creates tension in your life. And then there's the folks who sometimes, even after a decision is made, people start second-guessing their decision. Oh, Did I make the right choice? Oh, I probably made the wrong choice. I just don't know. And the stress or the pain is prolonged. So is there a fix for this? Can I somehow not be so uncertain about decisions in my life, about direction in my life? Well, I would suggest to you the fix that we'll consider this morning is to, I know this is going to sound simple to start out, but it's to let God guide you. It's to let God guide you. Be in touch with Him so that you will be receptive to and listening to and respond to His leading. We're looking at this idea of living in the goodness of God, and we're doing that by going through Psalm 23. It's called the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Here's the one that we're looking at today. "He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake." It goes on to say, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." And the next slide says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What an awesome passage. Life is a journey, and God has given us a roadmap. It's His book, the Bible. That's our roadmap for life. God has given us a compass that keeps us headed in the right direction, and He's even given us a personal guide. You get a personal guide with that book. Did you know that? Not just with that book, but in our relationship with God and our walk with Him. It's like a guidance counselor, the Holy Spirit. When Patty and I were in Cuba, we had a personal guide lead us through the city of Havana. And that took the stress out of trying to do it on our own, which would have been stressful. It was a whole lot better than trying to figure it out all by ourselves. Now the Bible tells us that God wants to lead us in the paths of, it's a big word, righteousness. That means He wants to lead us in the right paths. That's what He wants to do. God wants to lead us in right paths. God doesn't plan for us to mess up our lives. He wants us to walk in paths or in the ways that are right, ways that bring honor to Him as our Heavenly Father, not embarrassment or shame. And part of how I walk in right paths means making right decisions. The Bible says that He leads me in right paths. Another translation says He keeps me on track. That's what it is. He keeps me on track. God wants you to keep on track in your life. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm not saying you are, but it's possible that some of you are thinking, this just doesn't work for me. I mean, I've tried to let God lead my life. I don't get it. How do you let God lead? Well, that's what we're going to look at, because there are some things that we may have to stop doing, and there are some things we may need to start doing in order to know God's leading in your life. And this is a really challenging thing, because the questions come to our minds, don't they? Why is it so difficult to figure out what God wants me to do with my life? Why is God's will often seem hidden? Is God playing games with me? Does God enjoy confusing me? Of course He doesn't. No, He doesn't. God is good, and that's what we're looking at. God has good plans for your life, not bad, but not bad plans. God wants you to understand those plans. And because He's good, He's promised to lead us, to guide us. That's what a good shepherd does. In fact, if you're a Christian and you've never felt guided by God, never felt led by God, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because one of the proofs or one of the evidences that you have a relationship with God, that you're part of His family, is that He guides you, that He leads you. Romans 8:14. Only those people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. To read that a couple times. Only those who are people who are led by God's Spirit are His children. So it's important that we understand this. How do I be led By God's Spirit. How do you get God's guidance, whether it's a business decision or a relationship decision or a financial or health decision? How do I get God's guidance in my life? How do I be led by God's Spirit? And so I just want to take a little bit of time this morning to look at some things that we should probably make sure we aren't doing or should stop doing. And there are some things that we should make sure we are doing or start doing. And so I want to start with the things we should stop. Does that make sense? I want to start with the things, so we'll start by stopping. It might be a little uncomfortable, but it's necessary if we really want to be led by God. And the number one thing I would say is if I want to be led by God's Spirit, I can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God. If I want to be led by God's Spirit, I can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God. And so I've got to stop that. You can't run in two directions at the same time. You can't serve God and something else. You've got to decide what's going to be number one in your life, and there can only be one number one. In Exodus 23:2, the Bible says, "Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong." Now, that's an important verse because you've often heard the phrase, well, a lot of people are doing it. You know, sometimes they say everybody else is doing it. Well, first of all, they're not. Everybody, whatever you say everybody else is doing, it's not everybody else doing it. And secondly, just because something might be legal or not illegal doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. It doesn't mean it's moral. It doesn't mean I should be doing it. You can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God if you want to be led by God. Don't follow the crowd in doing wrong. You know, a lot of people make decisions in their life according to what's generally acceptable, and that's not a terrible thing. But then it goes to the idea that I just want to fit in. I just want to fit in. And if they're doing it, then I'm going to do it. And if they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. Or if they're not going, then I'm not going. Steve told me something this week. They were over at the residence down the street here doing pancake breakfast. And so they do this every couple weeks. They go in and do up some pancakes. Steve, you said that what happened there just for a moment that morning? And so nobody eats. It's just like a pack mentality. One person says, "Yeah, that's awesome." Everybody gets pancakes. If that one person says, "No, I don't want one," nobody gets pancakes. For some reason, it's that fitting in, it's that going along with the crowd. You see, there are influences all around us that tell you, this is out now, stop doing that. This is in now, start doing that. Wear this, don't wear that. Clearly, some people do not adhere to that, but say this, don't say that. There's great pressure trying to make you conform to the culture, but it's impossible to conform to the culture and be led by the Holy Spirit because he's going in a different direction. As we read the Old Testament, we see that was Israel's biggest problem. They kept trying to be like every other nation. And God said, "No, no, no. You're supposed to be different. I don't want you doing that." And he gave them some moral laws and some civil laws and ceremonial laws. And he said, "This will give you some guidelines so you live different from other people." And it's intentional. God said, "Because you're my people, I want you to be different. So don't copy what everybody else is doing." And he still says that to us today in his word, the Bible. Today, many believers, many people who call themselves Christ followers, Christians, accept so many of the world's standards simply because they're politically correct, because they're culturally correct. They're what everybody else is doing. And I get not saying things that hurt people. We don't want to do that. We don't want to say things that hurt people. Actually, you'll always offend someone by what you say, by the way. That's the in thing now. But we don't have to be hurtful with our words and actions. And today in our society, there are also laws that we need to follow. But here's what the Bible says in Romans 12, chapter 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God. Let me read that part again. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what he wants you to do, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So you have to decide in life, do Do I want to be popular and just fit in with the world? Or do I really want to do what God put me on this earth to do? Do I want to be who he made me to be and not just a copy of somebody else? Don't copy the behaviors and values of this world. Let God transform you into a new person by changing some of the ways you think. And then he says, you'll know what his good and pleasing and perfect will is for you. How do I know what God's will is for me? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's how we get to know it. That's how we get to know God's pleasing and perfect will. God's will for your life is good. It's not bad. God has good plans for your life, not bad plans. God's will for your life is good and it's pleasing. That means it's enjoyable. It's not a bad deal. It can involve pain, but it's good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. One of the weaknesses of following culture is it's all temporary. Whatever's in style now, next year it's going to be out of style. It's not cool then. 1 John 2:17 says, the world and all of its desires passes away, but the person who does the will of God lives forever. These sound like good things. And so I can't continue to follow culture. I can't follow culture. Next one gets a little more personal. If I want to be led by God's Spirit, I can't follow friends who aren't led by God. I can't follow friends who aren't led by God. Not talking about social media here. If my friends are going in the exact opposite direction that God is going, I have to make a decision. Am I going to go in the direction my friends are going, or am I going to go in the direction God is going? Your friends will influence you towards God or away from God. But I would say, don't let them set the agenda for your life. One of the reasons that people don't hear God's will, is that they're always hearing what their friends' will is. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's drink this. Let's eat that. Let's go here. Let's talk like this. Let's watch this. Let's smoke that. Let's take a little of this. It'll be fun, they say. If I want to be led by God, I can't follow my friends who aren't led by God. Because one of the things that causes people to miss God's will for their life, God's plan, God's perfect, good and pleasing plan, is something called peer pressure. I mean, you can get it in school. You all know what that was like in school or is like in school. When you felt or today feel pressured by friends, it happens in school. But you also get it at work. There is peer pressure and you have to say, am I going to be led by my friends, my coworkers, my teammates, or am I going to be led by what God says? 1 John 3:7-8 says, do not let anyone lead you the wrong way. Christ is righteous. That means he does what is right. So to be like Christ, a person must do what is right. Not necessarily what's popular. So anyone who continues to sin is led by the devil. I didn't write any of that. You can look it up in different versions. 1 John 3:7-8, it's there. So if I've got a friend who is habitually sinning, I mean they're doing, let's say, illegal drugs, or having sex with one person after another, and they're bragging about it at work. I choose those two things because I've been on the listening end, the hearing end of that conversation. If they're doing all that, who are they following? Well, according to the Bible, it's the devil. Don't let anybody lead you in the wrong direction, the wrong way. You know, nobody ever says when looking back on their life, I sure wish I'd screwed up my life more. I sure wish I'd done more bad things with my life. I wish I'd done more things that were harmful and hurtful to myself and my family. People don't say that. It's always looking back or looking behind. I wish I'd done better. I wish I'd done this good thing or spent more time with these people or those people. Proverbs 13:20 says, wise friends make you wise, but you hurt yourself by going around with fools. Another version says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. If you keep company with wise friends, common sense friends, you're going to become wise. If I want to follow God's direction, I can't let culture get me off track, and I can't let friends get me off track now. Well, let me say this. This doesn't mean I have to give up all my non-Christian friends, or that I shouldn't have non-Christian friends. In fact, here's the thing, God wants you to have friends who are unbelievers or who are not Christ followers. In fact, the Bible says if you are a follower of Christ, you're to love everybody. In fact, it's even said that I'm to love my enemies. I'm to love the people who hate me, who criticize me, who attack me. Again, I'm not making that up. It's in here. It's not an option for me. If I call myself a believer, a follower of Christ, I am to show God's love to everybody. And God wants to use you to influence others in coming to a relationship with Jesus. It's kind of like what God said back in the Old Testament to Jeremiah. He said, you are to influence them, but do not let them influence you. Number three, third thing, if I'm going to be led by God, I can't look to other sources besides God. To be led by God in the right paths and know his will for you, you only need him and his word, the Bible. When I say him, that involves communicating with him and talking with him, and his word is reading his word and putting it in our hearts and spending that time. You don't need fortune tellers. You don't need palm readers or any other type of psychic whatever. None of it. I encourage you this morning, stay away from it. Tarot cards, Ouija boards, tea leaves, zodiacs, reading livers of animals. I trust no one here does that. It sounds ridiculous, but people do all kinds of crazy things to try to determine their future, what they should do, which way they should go. How many times have I heard from what I consider people who are sensible, I hear the universe told me, or the universe is sending me messages. What? But they want nothing to do with God. The universe, okay. In some places, they throw beans on the floor and then look at the pattern. There's this thing called, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, parrotmancy, where you let the parrot out of its cage and it flies over and picks up a card and then you know who you're supposed to marry. I am not making this up. There's a thing called rumpology. You want to go there? Yeah. It's called rumpology. And there are people who you can pay who will tell you your future. Yeah, uh-huh. Ready for this? By looking at the shape of your butt. I think it's called stupidity. But I think that there's such a desire out there to somehow determine or know my future or be led in a direction or something. There's such a desire in our world to know that stuff, to be led, but not with God. Anything but God. That's people who want the future, but they don't want God. Here's what the Bible says, it warns us about in Deuteronomy chapter 18. There must not be anyone among you who practices divination, is a sign reader, fortune teller, sorcerer, or spell caster, who converses with ghosts or spirits or communicates with the dead. All who do these things are detestable to the Lord. Another version puts it this way, never look to psychics or seances or fortune telling or the stars or people who claim to be in contact with the dead. People who do these things are doing evil, and God hates it with a passion. Folks, if you know a Christian who's doing any of these things, may I encourage you to politely, gently, lovingly tell them you're heading down the wrong path. You're never going to know God's will through a seance. You are never going to know God's will through a medium, through a horoscope, through astrologies. Those are counterfeits. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so we've just got to avoid that. We also read in 1 John 4:1, don't believe everything you hear. I read something that said there was a famous quote online, don't believe everything you hear, signed Abraham Lincoln. That was on the internet. He didn't have internet. Let's consider one more stop. If I want to be led by God's Spirit, number four, I can't be led by my feelings. I can't be led by my feelings. I can't follow a culture that doesn't follow God. I can't follow friends who aren't led by God. I can't look to other sources besides God. And I can't be led by my feelings, because you know what they are? They're nothing more than feelings. You know the song? If I want to be led by God's Spirit, I cannot be led by my feelings. Every emotion is temporary, whether it's a good one or a bad one. You can be elated at your wedding. It won't last, that feeling. And I'm not saying that you won't be in love, but the reality is the elation of that moment will not last. You can be elated at Disneyland. The feeling will not last. You can be elated at the big win for your team you're cheering for. The feeling will not last. Yet the same is true if you're depressed, if you're discouraged. That feeling will not last. No emotion can stay at the same level of intensity. If you have a panic attack, remember, it can't last. You cannot stay at that same level, that perpetual state of panic. This too will pass. And so we can't be led by our feelings, because they're not permanent. They're temporary. You can't just go by your feelings. Isaiah 53 says, we've all strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. Why do we leave God's path to follow our own? We choose to. We felt like it. And so when it comes to being led by God, we can't just go by our feelings. So those are some things. Those are some things this morning that we have to stop doing if we want to be led by God's Spirit. And I just want to share with you some things that we should do. It'll be way quicker because this is self-explanatory. Number one, if I want to be led by God, if I want His direction, I must want to be led. You can't lead somebody who doesn't want to be led. You can't lead an animal that doesn't want to be led. I've got to first desire it. I must want to be led, because you are free to choose not to be led, and you can deal with the results. Of course, it's highly possible that others will be hurt by your poor choices too. Psalm 40 verse 8 says, my God, I want to do what you want. Your teachings are in my heart. Interesting, the writer wants to do it. The reason he wants to do it is because he's reading God's word. Your teachings are in my heart. Secondly, I must be willing to do what God says. I must want to be led. I must be willing to do what God says. I must not only want His will, I've got to be willing to do what He asked me to do. I'm willing sort of to obey in advance, if you will. In other words, God, before you tell me, before you show me what you want me to do, my answer is already yes. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Number three, if I want to be led by God's Spirit, I must look to God's word. I must look to God's word. God's will is found in His word. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. If God's word isn't somehow part of your life, you're walking through it without direction and clarity. Psalm 119 verse 133 says, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. God's will is found in God's word. In fact, most of His will is already revealed in His word to us. And no, the name of your spouse is probably not in there, unless it's a biblical name, I guess. But the principles are there on how to find the right kind of man or find the right kind of woman that would be God's choice. The thing is, if you want to be led by the Spirit, start doing what you already know is in God's word, His will. Number four, if I want to be led by God's Spirit, I must ask the Holy Spirit to be my guide. Some of you might remember in school, they had a position on the faculty, on the staff, called school guidance counselor. Some of you were in there way more than you should have been. Some for disciplinary reasons, some for just you couldn't focus. In high school, they were supposed to help you decide if you were going to college or university or getting a job or whatever. And they were the guidance counselor. Well, as followers of Christ, we have a guidance counselor for life. He's called the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways you receive guidance is by asking. Psalm 27, teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path. James chapter 1, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Fifth thing, if I want to be led by God's Spirit, I must listen for his response. We need to pause. We need to wait. We talked about this. We need to be quiet. We need to listen. In Job, it says, God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another. Another version says, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. And you know what? There are even some people out there in the culture that would say, hearing God speak to you, hearing God's voice, is associated with some kind of mental illness. Don't listen to them. They are lost. They're on a path that leads them away from God. Let me finish with this morning. Sometimes you say, God, I want to know your will. I want to know your leading in my life. Lead me. And you look out and you go, that doesn't make sense at all. And that happens. It happens because we're trying to understand God. We're trying to understand someone who says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And we're trying to understand him. But here's the deal in bridging that gap. Proverbs 3:6. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's about being in his word. It's about talking with him. It's about walking in a relationship with him. And if you're involved in all of those things we talked about stopping, don't expect to be led by God. Don't really expect for him to be clear in showing you his will. I need to stop doing those things. I need to not be involved in those things if I really want to be led by God in right paths. And then these other things we shared are some things that I need to do. I need to remember if I want to be led by God. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And even if there seems to be no way at the moment, believe the words of this chorus. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Some of the other words say, he works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will make a way. And folks, I just encourage you this morning, seek his will in all you do. To be led, he leads me in right paths for his name's sake, to honor him. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take, and in so doing, honor his name. The choice is yours. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word that says you will lead us. But God, we just can't continue in some ways and then expect you to lead us or to reveal yourself to us. But Father, we're called through your word to a kind of life, to a kind of relationship with you in which you can lead us, in which you reveal yourself to us. Lord, I pray this morning if there's anyone here who's involved in some of those things that we talked about this morning, that by your Holy Spirit, dear guidance counselor, Holy Spirit, would you convict? Would you lead away from those things? Would you lead into the good things? Lord, I pray that you would help us to be involved in the things we should do. I pray that you'd help us to want to be led. I pray that you would help us to find your word as part of that, leading us to that desire, that we'd be in your word, that we would listen to you. God, we need your help in all this thing called life. It's not easy. You know it. We know it. We make so many mistakes, but we want to live right. And so I pray that you would lead us in the right paths for your name's sake and for our blessing, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.